Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You may be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I'm so glad you're here. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources, and any of the free downloads I mention. This week's podcast is titled, What Leaders Should Know About Remote Learning, with Eric Scheninger. I'm excited to welcome Eric on the podcast. In a moment, you'll hear our conversation about his recommendations for school leaders tackling the challenges of supporting students, teachers, and families learning and working at home. Eric is a fellow ASCD author. You might have his book co-authored with Tom Murray, Learning Transformed, or you might have the second edition of his best-selling book, Digital Leadership, Changing Paradigms for Changing Times. I'll make sure to link to all of those resources on the podcast show notes, which you can access at classtechtips.com/podcast. Let's jump into the interview. Okay. Well, Eric, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I know I shared a little bit about your work with my listeners leading into this, but I'm hoping you can give a little bit of your background.
Great. Well, thanks for having me, Monica. Well, my name is Eric Scheninger. I'm an associate partner with the International Center for Leadership and Education. And prior to this, I was a principal in New Milford, New Jersey. And my school was able to do some pretty amazing things many, many years ago. So now I work with schools, districts, organizations across the globe on transforming teaching, learning, and leadership.
Fantastic. And, you know, this has been such a wild time, you know, in terms of the positioning and the pivots people are making in terms of supporting students who are now learning at home. And you've shared a lot in the past on digital leadership. I have one of your books right here next to me on my desk as we're talking. And I know that you've been sharing more recently some considerations for leaders. And that's what I'm really hoping we can talk a bit about today, about what leaders should know about remote learning and what kind of things they should take in mind. So, you know, what are some of those things that leaders should really know about remote learning and the digital component, of course, but also how that goes into relationships and connecting with families? What are some of those big considerations you're sharing with people?
Yeah, you know, I think when we look at remote learning, we have to understand that it is not business as usual. That will set us up for success. So the one thing that I think we've learned the hard way is we were kind of caught with our pants down. You know, we really didn't have a realistic plan to deal with a pandemic, and we're learning lessons on the go. You know, I kind of wrote this little quote a few weeks back that, you know, educators are building the plane and flying at the same time, and they're doing an admirable job, which is true. But I think one of the glaring lessons that leaders in particular have learned is just because you had devices doesn't mean that you were set up for success in a remote learning world. And the schools that have really been able to more or less thrive in a remote learning world, they're the ones that really had the pedagogy down in their brick and mortar buildings that really exemplified personalized learning, you know, focusing on elements of voice and choice, path, pace, and place, because that's what we're seeing now, Monica. We are seeing personalization. You know, I watch my own two kids. You know, they're able to go at their own pace. They're able to follow their own paths. They're thriving. And a lot of it has to do with the cultures of learning that they were immersed in. So I think, I hope that, you know, leaders have understood that, you know what, yeah, we're trying to figure it out now. We're in uncharted waters. But the whole idea is how do we make sure that we're assigning a manageable workload to our kids? How do we ensure that the planning process for remote learning involves not just teachers, not just administrators, but kids and parents? How do we make sure that we're not putting too much responsibility on parents because they're working at home? One of the biggest glaring issues that has really smacked us in the face is equity. You know, we are seeing immense inequities, not just across zip codes, but also just access to technology. And I think for leaders too, is you have to be constantly be flexible. Understand that there's no one right way to facilitate remote learning. And in many cases, it's about looking at what's that right blend of digital and non-digital, just because of that equity issue. So there's a lot of things here that we have to look at leadership, but the flexibility on behalf of leaders and being able to support teachers to help them be successful are imperative right now.
Yeah, it's so important. And what you mentioned about the foundation, I love what you said about it's not just, you know, the digital component of having the devices, right? That doesn't mean that you can automatically transfer, right? The fact that you have those physical things or that you're able to distribute them. But if you have that foundation in terms of your school or district culture, if you have thought about what's the best practices in general, what does good planning look like and good communication, right? Those are the systems you can lean into, even if maybe some of the technology pieces are still being, you know, worked out in terms of what's a good fit. So when it comes to being flexible and, you know, adaptable in these moments, what are some things that maybe you've seen or that you would recommend a school leader to think about in terms of that family communication or connecting with families?
Yeah, you know what, when I really think about the flexibility component, it really comes down to empathy and really exemplifying empathetic leadership. And, you know, it's important for leaders, whether you're a teacher leader, building leader, or district leader, to put yourself in the shoes of your kids. You know, it's about finding the right balance, giving teachers the autonomy to find the right balance between synchronous and asynchronous instruction. You know, synchronous live using things like Zoom, Google Hangouts, BlueJeans, and asynchronous, which really is what affords those elements of personalization, path, pace, place, voice, and choice. You know, it's about not locking everyone into a one-size-fits-all plan, you know? So what leaders have to really do is, you know, reflect on what's working, adapt, listen to concerns, and most importantly, do what's in the best interest of the kids that they serve. When we think about connecting with families, you know, I wrote in Digital Leadership, you know, you will not find an effective leader who is not an effective communicator. You know, in times of crisis, we have to excessively communicate using a multifaceted approach that blends traditional and non-traditional means, you know, meeting our stakeholders where they're at. Yes, we can use tools like Snapchat, Instagram, even TikTok to get to our younger learners and our millennials, but thinking about using tools like Twitter, LinkedIn, but also, hey, not banking that everyone's going to be digital. You know, what a lot of successful schools are doing is phone calls. I got phone calls from my kids, teachers here in Texas. Phone calls, emails, paper letters, all that has value in today's world because the only thing that matters is that the stakeholders get the right information at the right time through the right means.
And that really comes back to that idea of empathy, right? And putting yourself in someone else's shoes. And I think one of the big things that's come out of this, especially as shifts were taking place, you know, I'm based right outside of New York City. I taught in New York City DOE for a number of years. And you know this just as well as anyone, right, who's in the education space. I found that I had family members or friends, you know, reaching out and not really understanding about how food service works within a school and how disruptive it is when you do not have school in terms of making sure everyone is well fed, right? And things like that, you know, go on to a whole nother level of understanding of where people are at and reaching them where they are, especially as families might move around right now or not have school as the number one priority, not because they don't value education, but because they have, you know, health and economic issues that they're dealing with as a family. And so I really appreciate what you said about the flexibility and the empathy. And I think that comes back to really being realistic in terms of what kids can accomplish and what families can do to support them. So what are some things that you're finding that school leaders are doing maybe a really good job at or are starting to grow in when it comes to that being realistic in terms of scheduling and self-paced learning and the asynchronous component you mentioned?
Yes. And I think you've heard this many, many times. Maslow's before Bloom's. You know, really focusing on the physical, social, emotional needs of our kids first, because that's all that matters. And Maslow's hierarchy is really the foundation for forming relationships with you, which you mentioned before, Monica. You know, everything comes down to relationships. Without trust and empathy, there is no relationship. And if there's no relationship, no real learning will occur. So as we think about, you know, putting that in place, another thing you touched on is the whole social emotional learning component. You know, the SEL. Right now, you know, kids are so distraught because humans are just naturally social. And right now, kids, their whole lifeline has been disrupted. You know, the way that they communicate, collaborate, engage in discourse with their friends. And a lot of it is, you know, for the schools that are and districts that are really getting remote learning right. They are finding, they're working with parents and kids to find that balance between SEL, basic needs, and learning. And the key is, you know, incorporating elements of, you know, some schools, they're incorporating mindfulness lessons, you know, into the day. They are incorporating movement. You know, even me in my work, when I'm working with teachers, I'm modeling that every 20 minutes, I'm having them virtually go on and do a Go Noodle. And rock out to the guacamole song, you know, thinking about creating balanced schedules. You know, a lot of that is how we engage with our parents, because here's the deal. We're seeing, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal just the other day. Schools and states are giving up on remote learning because it's too tough. Mm-hmm. It's too tough because of approaching it with a business as usual mindset. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is it's not about piling on more. It's about how do we find that right balance? You know, here, you know, we think about realistic. You know, one of the biggest things that's coming up is grading. And many people are on the fence. Grading can work in a remote learning world if it is fair, if it is realistic, and if it is equitable. So as we think about that, you know, what I've seen with my own two kids here in our district in Texas is they have a series of assignments. They're not all graded. The kids get to choose which one will be graded. So there is that choice. There is that fairness. It's realistic. You know, the expectations are clearly articulated. They have enough time. They can still do redos and retakes. So, you know, when we think about, you know, the role of leaders, you know, you hit the nail on the head again with that word realistic. What might be realistic in District A or State A might not be realistic in State B. So the key is to gather as much information, to get a lay of the land, to communicate with our stakeholders, to engage our kids, and to create a model of remote learning that actually focuses not on conformity and compliance, but progression towards standard attainment and actual construction of new knowledge, basically get kids keep learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really like that idea of things being adaptable, right? Being realistic, saying what's going to be the right fit for, you know, this group of students, for this individual students, and really being reflective. And, you know, I had a webinar that I hosted a couple weeks ago and was sharing, you know, the strategy of reflection, right? And one of my suggestions, and I'm not a big journaler, so, and I acknowledge this while I was talking to the group, I said, you know, I'm not someone who sits down at the end of the day and typically journals about my day. I think that's great for people who have that routine. I said, but I'm still saying it to folks, like, it doesn't have to be a real journal, but if you take a few moments in your planner to jot down what went really well or what was really hard about the process that you're going through right now, I think there's a lot of benefits to gathering all this information and data, just like you mentioned.
Yeah, you know, I think what you saw about is that the reflection piece, you know, it's so important in a remote learning world that, that kids can not articulate what they learned, but why am I learning this and how will I use it outside of school? You know, now more than ever, there has to be that connection to relevance, that meaning, that purpose, because if there is no purpose, kids aren't going to be engaged in no matter what the activity is.
Right. And I, you know, when kids are not next to that person who's right next, right, who's sitting in their classroom, that teacher's not kind of circulating and adapting in the moment, right, that relevancy of their work is so crucial just in order to keep them focused and caring, right, about these things when there's not someone maybe next to them who has a high energy to kind of get them to that place, like it might happen in a classroom. And I'm wondering if you are kind of hearing things or, you know, things come up in your conversation. You know, I've talked to folks who are sharing about their own children or children in their classes who are saying that some of them are doing a really good job and are really happy in this space, that they can focus a little bit more. Things have slowed down a little bit and they're adapting pretty well to this work from home. Obviously, you know, there's extremes with all this, but I'm curious because I've heard some people say, and, you know, from a leadership standpoint, how could a school leader really prepare for families coming back and saying, you know, I don't know if this traditional schooling is the best fit for my child, or maybe I want to try homeschooling for the first half of the school year. Are you hearing those kind of things, or do you have any advice for school leaders who might start to hear something like that from their families?
Yeah, what I'm hearing is more general, is that expectations of parents are changing. Their expectations for school are changing. They now are well aware of the potential advantages that a remote learning world has shown, especially when you look at the freedom, the flexibility, and the lack of stress involved with pedagogically sound blended learning. And, you know, I believe that parents are, I don't know if they're going to make the shift to homeschooling, because we've seen so many articles where parents are saying, this is hard work.
Yeah.
I could never be a teacher. I don't think they're going to homeschool, but I do think that they're going to hold administrators, schools, and teachers more accountable for providing more relevant, realistic learning opportunities that are going to sort of carry forward the many benefits that we've seen, especially with pacing and going on their own path, you know, when we think about differentiation. So, you know, my hope is that leaders are going to be very thoughtful about what their reentry plan is going to look like, mm-hmm. that they're going to work over the summer and really focus their professional learning on their reentry plan. And one of that is going to be that parent outreach and education and, you know, building them into the process to create a culture that, you know, not only prepares us for the next pandemic, but creates a system of learning that is more reflective of the world that we're living in now. You know, we want kids to be able to think. We want kids to be able to apply their thinking. What we've learned now, the biggest lesson is we can ill afford to prepare kids for something. We need to prepare kids for anything. That's what COVID-19 has taught us. That's the lesson. We weren't prepared for anything. Now we are going through the triage. We're doing the best job. There's so many admirable examples going on, but we can't go back to the way that we've always done it. We have to learn from these lessons and be more proactive than reactive. And I think that's going to be one of the demands of parents.
Yeah. And I love that, you know, the wording you use with just making sure that we're proactive, right? Because being reactive is easy in the sense that you have no choice, right? You have to react to something. But when we know better, right, we can really do better and we have that responsibility. to do better. And so just to kind of wrap up our conversation on this piece here about what leaders should know about remote learning and kind of the things that they should think about moving forward, you've shared so much when it comes to connecting with families, making sure that we're being realistic and flexible, and just the importance of those kind of open lines of communication. I'm wondering, as we are, preparing for some unknowns of the summer and unknowns of the fall, maybe what's one or two big things kind of at the top of your list that are you're suggesting to school leaders to kind of stay on the lookout for or be mindful of kind of in this second wave of planning, now that there's a little bit more context, they can kind of see what might be coming in the future. What are one or two things that you're hoping they'll really narrow in and focus on?
Well, I'm probably just going to give one big one, and that is to refocus and re-envision their professional learning for themselves and for their teachers. When we think about what this has taught us, it's taught us that we have to create the conditions for teachers and administrators that are reflective of the environments that our kids will learn in. When we think about personalized learning, blended learning, remote learning, SEL, equity, these are the things, Monica, that do not get enough emphasis. In our world, we always hear about the tech. We, always hear about the tool. Now is the time where, I'm not saying that's not important, but that focus has to be on outcomes. That focus has to be on how do we fundamentally change pedagogy? How do we have, ensure more impactful instruction? How do we ensure that our leadership creates relevant cultures of learning? So my hope is that now, leaders will really begin to zero in on their professional learning. They'll focus more on ongoing job-embedded professional learning under the same conditions that kids will learn in, move away from the drive-by one-and-done that has little to no impact based on research, and provide teachers with support, but also to get their own support. It all comes down to, a word that we've thrown around in this conversation, feedback, feedback and support. That's what I hope we take from this, because the same concepts now that we are grappling with can be applied during snow days, other natural disaster days, another pandemic. But also, how about better meeting the needs of all of our kids? Because the one-size-fits-all approach that's employed by many schools does not meet the needs of all of our kids. So professional learning, first and foremost, but also let's think about how we can change a culture that becomes truly more student-centric.
Well, thank you so much, Eric, for sharing all of this today. And I want to make sure everyone knows how to stay connected to you. So where's the best place for them to find you or to follow you?
Yeah, my website is a one-stop shop, ericscheninger.com. But I'm also easily accessible on Twitter, E_Scheninger, or just do a simple Google search. I'm not hard to find.
Well, thank you so much for joining today.
My pleasure.
It was so wonderful to hear Eric's perspective. He shared lots of actionable information and big ideas to think about. But let's break it down like we do at the end of each episode. So let's make this EdTech easy. First, take stock of how things are going right now. Then, determine if there is space to be more empathetic and realistic. Next, review how you are currently connecting with families. And finally, reflect and prioritize your next steps. Find links to the resources Eric mentioned in the show notes for today's episode. The link is right in the description wherever you're listening to this podcast. Even if it's on Apple Podcasts, you should see a link to click on. Or you can head over to classtechtips.com/podcast to find all the links too. I love bringing you free resources like this podcast to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Can you do me a favor? If you like the podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this. Tell a friend about the podcast or post a link to the episode on your social media. And if you'd like to stay connected, follow me at Class Tech Tips on Instagram or your favorite social network. I visit schools and conferences all over the world and support organizations with webinars and virtual professional development. So if your organization is in need of professional learning, just send a message my way. And sending a shout out and thank you to Rev for supporting the podcast. You can find the transcripts for this episode made with rev.com on the episode page, classtechtips.com/podcast.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.